This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 179. What do all top IELTS scorers have in common?
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show.
Today, find out what the top IELTS scorers in our course do, what makes them different from the average test taker, and how to model their habits for your 7 or higher. If 2016 is your year to get the freedom that you have envisioned for yourself in your life, then you need to pass the IELTS exam. And to pass the IELTS exam, you need to work with the best professional in the IELTS field. That is Jessica Beck. We've created a free 3-part video series to show you our insider method. Go to allearsenglish.com/insider to get video 1 for free now. See you there. allearsenglish.com/insider. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Lindsay. How's it going? What's happening in Boston?
What's happening in Boston? Not a whole lot. I don't know. There's not, you know, it's the usual. I guess we're into January now, getting into the new year. I'm feeling good about 2016. So
how are you
feeling about 2016?
So good. I am so positive about what's going to happen in my life next year. Just all of these, like, all of these parts of my life just opening up and just feeling like refreshed and renewed and just most of all, like, really looking forward to it, you know, like excited.
Oh, that's, yeah, me too. Me too. I'm super excited for 2016. I think it's going to be a good year. It's a good, solid, even number. And, you know, things are good. Ooh. And I'm excited for our students too, you know, because this is the year for our listeners and our students to get their target score and to get into their futures, right? Because IELTS is the gateway to the future, to our futures that we want.
Yeah, really use the sort of pressure that comes along with New Year's and Christmas and whatever. This sort of, there is pressure at the end of the year, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't made New Year's resolutions like ever, I think, but nonetheless, even though I, you know, say that out loud, like, oh, I don't do that. That's dumb. That doesn't matter. Like, I still in my head, like in myself, I'm like, okay, this is the year I'm going to blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, it's still, you can't help but think about, okay, like, this is my chance to begin again. This is my chance for a fresh start. What am I going to do with it? Right? So for our listeners, this is your chance to dedicate yourself to your goals. Are you serious about your goals? Right? Are you serious about going to that university, immigrating to that other country? Then you have to take real steps towards it. It's not just this vague, like, oh, this would be so amazing if I could do blah, blah, blah. I think I'll, you know, maybe get a tutor once a week or like that's not going to get there.
That's just dipping your toe in, right, Jessica? That's not really, you know what? It makes me think of this concept of fear of success. And again, I'm going to go deep, but we're not going to go deep for too long. We did do an episode a couple years ago on fear of success, and it's over on the allearsenglish.com blog. If you type in fear of success, it's a really fascinating episode and we got a lot of comments on it. And I think that might be one issue that maybe some of our listeners are struggling with, right?
Yeah.
You'd expect fear of failure, but for a lot of people in the world, fear of success is even bigger.
Oh,
and
what it does is
it does cause us to just say, oh, maybe I'll get a tutor once every two weeks. Maybe I'll just dip my toe in. It holds us back from going full on towards our goals.
Well, it's, I think part of it is, and maybe you talked about this on that episode, but don't you think part of it is just the fear of the unknown? Like, you're comfortable in your life right now because you know it, like, you know what's happening. But once you reach this other level in your life, once you move to a new country, start at a new school, start learning in English, you know, amongst other native speakers, like, that's kind of a scary idea. So I could see how that unknown situation, just, you know, the success of it, yes, but just the pure mystery of it is going to hold people back. And then they'll be like, oh, why didn't I get the score I needed? I prepared. Like, No, yeah, you no, did
but
it.
But yeah, it, right. It causes this sense of half-heartedness, right? The half-heartedness. Yeah. And I really, one thing that I think is such a good value to strive for is wholeheartedness in life and everything we do. And it's not easy, right? But I think we should do another episode on that topic, Jessica. Totally. I know it's kind of existential and deep, but I think it's a good, I think we got to address these issues here. It's not all about just grammar and vocabulary, right?
No, this has real consequences for IELTS students, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, the confidence is such a big factor, and the anxiety is such a big factor, and the organization of your time and your effort. And that's, these are all things that do in real ways decrease or increase your scores, like directly. But it's not something you get in a textbook, and it's not something that teachers are going to talk about in class.
Oh, no. Your average IELTS school is not going to talk about fear of success on the IELTS.
Right.
So I think we'll come back to that, because that deserves an episode, at least
totally.
One full episode, Jessica. But for today, Jessica, let's go in. We are starting to pick up some very interesting patterns, which is super exciting for our students that have gotten, you know, sevens or higher, or who have gotten the scores that they needed from our course. And let's look at the patterns and look at the habits of these students. Like, what do they do? Because that's how we learn to be successful. We learn and we model what people do who are successful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, first of all, these students, and this isn't a complete list of students who have gotten amazing scores. These are just the first ones we thought of because either they were on the podcast or I talked to them in the Power Hour. Yeah. Like, we had personal interactions with these guys. So, Pedro, for example, was on podcast. What was it? Episode 149, I feel like.
I don't remember. Wow. Good memory. I don't know. So just type in Pedro in the search bar and you'll find him.
Yeah. So he got an overall 7.5. And you can listen to that episode and you could hear how calm and happy he is about our course. I mean, he dedicated himself to our course wholeheartedly, right? He did all of the practice he was supposed to. He followed everything on the study plan, which I'll talk about in a second.
Yeah.
And that is what gave him the confidence. I think that's what came through most for me was his confidence. And just like we were just talking about, that is how the hard work gives you the confidence to succeed, right? Because you're unafraid to succeed. You have that confidence. So one of the biggest things that came out of my talk with him and his preparation was how pleased he was with the study plan and how much he felt that helped him. So the study plan on our course, there's a 30-day one and a 60-day one. And every day you get two activities. One is very test specific. You know, watch one of my video lectures, do this practice worksheet, very test strategy specific. But then the other activity is about improving your overall English. It's always connected to the test. Okay. Everything you do is connected to the test in some way. But remember, guys, it's not a test of your testing strategies. It's a test of your English ability. So, you do need to understand the test, sure, but you also need to speak good English. So our course gives you both.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And in terms of mindset with Pedro, I mean, the thing that did strike me when I listened to that episode was the wholeheartedness that we just talked about, right? He went in and I remember a quote from his episode. He said, I'm really happy that I took my practice seriously. I took it seriously. And there's so many forces pulling us in different directions, right? He has kids, right? He has a couple of boys, I think. He has a job, life, everything. Yeah. But he took it seriously. He really went into it 100%. And that can't be underemphasized.
Exactly.
Overemphasized.
Or underemphasized. I mean, both, I guess. It's a tough thing to realize that you have to sacrifice some time for your own goals. But if you take a step back and you realize that the personal goals, like passing IELTS for something, it's not just for you, it's for your family now, or it's for your future family, or it's for, you know, your life that you're going to have in the future connected to other relationships and other fields, right? It's not just about you. So don't feel guilty about taking time for your own practice. And I think that's something that, working adults face when they do have families and jobs and other things to do is that they feel guilty for taking extra time for themselves, but it's not just for yourself. It's for your future.
Absolutely. That's huge. That's huge. I love it. So, okay. So some of the things that Pedro did, he's focused on the study plan. He really took it seriously. He went 100% in, right? There was no dipping the toe in. There was no in and out. He was in, right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So, yeah. And then another, another student that was on a podcast, Renata, who is like famous now because she got a 9 on the reading.
The celebrity of our course. Yes.
Yeah, totally. Again, like she did the whole course. She worked really hard and put in all of her time and effort and did everything we asked of her. But specifically about reading, what she did was to take these reading strategies, and you can hear this on her episode, is that she practiced the strategies again and again, right? This is not only investing your money in a course, it's investing your time in dedicating your time to improving and to learning these strategies. Because just, you know, watching my video lecture and being like, oh, skimming and scanning, fantastic, blah, 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 keywords, yeah. Like that's sure. Okay. That's the beginning. Yeah. But like Renata says, you have to practice these strategies in, you know, in the test practice in the course and in extra test practice. Practice test books like Cambridge, for example. I'm pretty sure she used that series. But that's how you cement these things. And the day of the test, you get a 9 like Renata. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It's a way of interacting with the material that's very deep. I remember when I was in middle school and I would have, you know, certain things to learn, right? You'd have a sheet of notes, right? Maybe a couple of pages on a white lined paper. And by the time test day came around, it would be all tattered and ripped up. And it's clear that like you've had your hands on that paper for hours at a time. And then I would get the score I needed on my test because I really went deep with the material. And that's what we want. Obviously, you guys don't have to have it written out on white lined paper. Maybe it is in the videos, but you know, maybe it actually is your writing practice, but you've done it. You've gone deep and that paper is tattered.
I totally used to. I think I might have mentioned this on the show before that, when I was in high school and say, for example, I had like an advanced human anatomy exam, I would like list out all of the terms that I had to memorize, like maybe a diagram or something. And I seriously took that with me everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what else I did? I like taped it to the wall in the shower in the back where the water wouldn't hit it. For real. And I would just like, while I was like washing my hair, you know, high school students take super long showers for some reason, maybe because they're studying, but I just would like, you know, studying.
No, that sounds like we had very similar work ethics in middle school and high school. And that's what you have to do. Like you have to know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and know how much you have to work. I had to work hard. Like things didn't really come easy.
Me too. You know? Yeah. And thank goodness, right? Because that carries through to your future. Imagine if you're like a super genius, everything was easy. Like I don't think you'd be as successful as you are today.
That's right. That's right. And so our listeners can learn a lot from this analogy, right? Just, you know, your notes should also be in the shower. They should be tattered. They should be handled over. You should feel like the oils from your hands on the paper because you've handled it so much.
Exactly.
I like that.
Exactly.
Analogy.
And this leads me to the next commonality I'm seeing in these students who are getting 7s and higher on the writing exam is that they are learning the simple, clear outline I give them in the course. They are memorizing this simple, clear outline, and they are practicing using it for all the different question types. And they know this outline so well that by the time they get to the exam, it is natural. They do not even have to waste time thinking about how to organize their ideas, about what to put in the introduction, about what linking words to use. That is already in their head. So all they have to do is they spend their time brainstorming strong examples, spend their time writing and checking their work. So, I mean, that
brilliant.
Saves you like 10 minutes, right? Like,
love it. Love it. Yeah. It's so smart. It's just so, so smart. If you take your future seriously, it's the way to go. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm proud of them.
I love seeing, you know, in these power hours when I see their essays that they send me and I see all the linking words I gave them and it's like perfectly organized. That's the examiner cool. that gets this is going to be so happy.
Oh, that's so cool. I love it. I love it. Is there anything else that are kind of commonalities, like the habits of the successful student that we have in our course?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Totally. So three students come to mind. Cheryl, who got a 7 on speaking, also on the podcast. Florian hasn't been on the podcast, but recently told us he got a 7 on speaking. And then there's a student who actually got an 8 on speaking from Brazil. And the commonality I see in these three students is that they not only follow the study plan and do everything in our course, but they also listen to our podcast. Because when I'm doing speaking practice with them, I hear them using idioms that we have talked about in our podcast. So
awesome.
Yeah. So awesome.
So cool. So cool. Love it. So they engage fully, right? It's not like they just listen to the podcast and get in the course and forget about the podcast.
Right.
They supplement and complement their study in the course where they go much deeper with some light kind of vocabulary work, right? And then they bring that in. They bring that into their, to their speaking tests and their writing tests.
Exactly. I mean, it's, one of the, and in the writing also, this goes for the writing as well. Using some of the idioms like the environment podcast that we did recently about environmental idioms like that, you could use that all over the place on IELTS.
I'm glad that they're using that.
Yeah.
Because when we did that, I feel like I didn't know much about the environment, but we did have some terms to share and our listeners are using them. So that's great.
So fantastic. So anyway, I think we could tie all of this advice together. All of these, successful habits of a, seven successful habits of a successful person?
Habits of highly successful people. Yeah, there's a famous book, right? The habits of, I think 7 habits of highly successful people, something like that. But anyways.
We could tie all this together by saying it's about you dedicating yourself to the job of getting the score you need on IELTS. And it's not just about doing one thing, like listening to one podcast, doing one course. It's about combining these resources that we give you and spending as much time as you can on the stuff that works and not wasting your time on the resources that don't. So like for a lot of these students, for Renata, for Cheryl, they also joined our power hours in the course, which is an extra thing. It's not something you have to do, but they did join the power hours. And they did get a 7 or higher on speaking. You know, I mean, it's directly connected.
Right. So that is a pattern there that we're seeing. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
So don't, just don't be afraid, guys. Like, this is the time. This is the time of year to make the decision that says, you know what? I'm going to spend the next 2 months. And come on, like, how old are you? It's two. What percentage of your life is 2 months? It's not that much. Like, just say, I'm going to take these next 2 months and I'm going to do everything I can. And I'm not going to be afraid to invest and succeed on IELTS. Schedule a test date for 2 months away, 3 months away, and, you know, and just do it. Work as much as you can up until that point and then walk in confident and get the scores you need on the very first time.
Yeah, exactly. And we've said that it's important to keep our eye on the reason we're taking it. Like thinking about, we've been talking about this concept of freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And freedom is defined differently by everyone who's taking the IELTS, but that's what we're all after, is a life of freedom. And, you know, writing that out when we get into the course or when we get started with IELTS, why am I doing this? Who's going to benefit from this? And why am I going to stick with it?
I love that. I love that that's like the first step of people that join our course. Cause I've even seen in some of the declarations that people have made, how positive it is for them to state their goals. But then also, like, once they do get the scores they need at the end of the course, I don't remember who it was, but I remember seeing a statement about how, like, this person remembers putting this on the Facebook wall and making these declarations about themselves. And they feel like that's where their hard work started. That without saying that, she wouldn't have been able to follow through or at least, or start, you know?
Yeah, it's a matter of stating it publicly in front of your peers, in front of your family even. And then that's the official, like, ring the bell, get started. And now we have our eye on that life of freedom that we want. I love it. I think we need to explore this concept of freedom a little bit more, Jessica. Maybe we need to think about making some kind of fun video for our listeners to contribute what freedom means for them when they when they pass the aisle. That would
be
so cool.
That's such a good idea.
That would be so cool. Yeah, I think we should explore that.
A declaration of freedom video. I love it. Let's save it for the 4th of July, just, you know, just for fun.
No, I want to see this before the 4th of July.
I know. I'm just, you know, themes.
All right. We'll work on that. Well, this has been good, Jessica. It's really important to learn from the best. Learn from the people that succeed. I mean, that's what we do in our careers and our lives. We look at who's successful and we model them. Mm-hmm. And we want to encourage you guys to do exactly that to get to your life of freedom. So awesome. There it is.
Exactly. You said it all, Lindsay.
All right. There it is, Jessica. Thanks so much for hanging out on the podcast today. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.